Hey, how many of you know what this means? DTR. Anybody know what that stands for? DTR. Define the relationship. Okay? And that's what we're going to be talking about in a new series of lessons that we're going to be focusing on. Talking about define the relationship. You think about it, every relationship that we are in needs to have what is referred to as the DTR talk, okay? That talk where you sit down and you define what the relationship is really all about, okay? And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about a couple who are boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever, getting ready to get married, it doesn't matter. They need to have that DTR talk at some point, okay? How about employers and employees? Need to have the DTR talk so that we know what the parameters of the relationship is all about. And also even relationships within churches. We need to have that DTR talk, you see, so that we know what, again, the parameters of the relationship are. Now, when we're having that DTR talk, some of the things that have got to be defined or established have to do with things like what are the expectations of each person or everybody in that relationship? What's expected of everybody? Also, what are the boundaries of the people in this relationship? Okay? And then also things like roles and responsibilities in the relationship. All of those kinds of things really need to be defined, because otherwise what we do is we just kind of guess. Well, here's the boundaries based on what I think they ought to be, or here's the expectations of the relationship based on what I think they ought to be. But we're not going to hit that very well, because we're going to only look at it from one perspective. So the DTR talk helps us to kind of outline all of those things and make sure that we understand these different aspects of, again, any relationship. So define the relationship, okay? Without that talk, the DTR talk, then a relationship really can be one of two things. It can be chaotic. In other words, nobody really knows what to expect, where the boundaries are, and all those kind of things. Or it can just almost kind of go into non-existent. Nobody's really offering much of anything, and it's just a mess. Okay? Here's another aspect of the DTR talk. Usually and typically, the parties in a relationship negotiate. In other words, they talk about, you know, what each one has to offer and what each one expects out of the relationship and so on and so forth. Where are those boundaries? They talk about and negotiate all of those kinds of things. That's really the purpose, in a lot of ways, of the DTR. Okay? Now, a relationship with God requires the DTR talk. Okay, we've got to make sure that we understand the parameters of the relationship. The relationship with God has got to be defined. Okay, same kinds of issues. What are the expectations of all parties involved? What are the boundaries within that relationship? And what are the roles and responsibilities within that relationship? Now, if you go back to the Israelites coming out of Egyptian bondage, God brought them to Mount Sinai, and guess what he had with them? He had the DTR talk, didn't he? Okay? God established a relationship with the Israelite people, and he gave them the law, which was his DTR talk. And basically that talk went this way. I'm your God. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. And here's how the relationship needs to work. All right? So God had the DTR talk with the Israelites there at Mount Sinai when he gave them the Ten Commandments and all of the law of Moses. Here's the difference. With a DTR talk and a relationship with God, there's no negotiations. All right? And that's one of the things that we're going to be focusing on throughout this study. Okay? When people enter into negotiations for whatever the situation or circumstance is, then usually it kind of operates like this diagram here where, you know, people come to the relationship, the discussion, they come to the table, as is said, and they talk about what each one has to offer, what each one needs, what are you bringing in, what do you expect to get, and they talk about all those things, and they finally come to some kind of an agreement, right? That's usually how negotiations work. And the goal of those negotiations is typically what is referred to as a win-win situation. So everybody walks away from the negotiations feeling like that they've won something, right? Everybody following me? Okay, so in the relationship with God, we have the DTR, define the relationship talk. There are no negotiations, all right? God has already defined the relationship. And that's what we're going to be looking at through this study. But the really great thing is, even though there are no negotiations, guess what we end up with? A win-win situation. You see? Because when someone accepts God's relationship with God, they accept His terms, and they enter into a relationship, God wins that person back, right? So He wins, and that person who's given themselves to Christ, they win also. So it becomes a win-win situation. So therefore, I submit to you, in the relationship with God, we don't need to negotiate. We just need to accept the definition of the relationship that He has set forth. Everybody following me so far? Okay, so define the relationship. Here's what we're going to be doing in this study. We're going to be looking at some different aspects of the relationship that we have with God. In other words, different areas of things that God has called upon us as His people, as people who are in a relationship with Him. We're going to be looking at some of these different aspects, okay, of that relationship. And we're going to look at how has God defined that aspect of the relationship. Okay? And then we're going to be asking ourselves, and here's the challenge with it all, how well are we following? How well are we doing with that particular aspect of the relationship as God has defined it to be? So this morning, we're going to start off this series of lessons talking about the DTR talk. How has God defined the relationship with us as His followers? Okay? As followers of Jesus, He has defined the relationship. Let's take a look at what that definition really is. Okay? So we start out here talking about this idea of believe only. Those folks that say all you have to do is believe and you will be saved. All right. Well, where does that typically come from? Well, primarily from two places, but mostly from John chapter 3, verse 16. This is the verse that everybody practically knows, okay? In fact, if you watch the Super Bowl this evening, most likely you will see at least one person, if not several, that are holding up a sign like this, John 3:16. Because everybody knows what this says, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? That whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, is that statement true?
Yes.
Ooh, I know there's more people here than that. Is that a true statement?
Yes.
How do we know? Because it's God's Word, right? Okay. So we know that to be true, but the way that people are interpreting that statement is not correct, oftentimes. That's where the problem. Nothing wrong with the statement. It's the application, interpretation of it. That people have taken that and said, well, see, all you have to do is believe in God and you will be saved. Okay? This other passage here from Ephesians. We are saved. People say we are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. It is His person, His work, no more than that, okay? None more and none else. There's nothing else you need to do. Why? Because as Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through what? faith. And this, not of ourselves. Why? It's not of our own doing, so that it is a gift of God, so that no one can do what? No one can boast. So it's really the idea of salvation does not come from us doing works and so forth. It comes from us simply believing in God. Well, the problem with that statement is it's the simply part. Is it true that we are saved by faith and by grace?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Is it true that we don't have to do anything? No, that's not true. But what is true is that though we have to do things, we are not doing them in order to be saved. We're doing them because we are saved. Okay? And there's a huge difference between those two. So it is not simply about faith or belief alone. Martin Luther said, we are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Okay? So again, there's this idea that says, hey, you know, it's all about our faith, and once we believe in God, all you have to do is acknowledge your belief in God, and you are saved. But that faith is never alone. In other words, it's not the only thing that we have to do. All right? The problem here is that too many people have been deceived by that teaching. All right? Jesus did not define a relationship with Him as followers by faith only. That is not His definition of a follower. Instead, Jesus gave a much, much more involved definition of the relationship for those who would be followers of Him. The text that Chuck read for us this morning, let's take a look at it. Here's how Jesus defines the relationship of those who are followers of Him. Not faith only. You don't see that in this passage at all. But look at what He says. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. If anyone would come after Me, he must do what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. Okay? That's how Jesus defined the relationship with Him as a follower. Take up your cross, okay? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. And notice that this is not optional. Okay? This was not a suggestion by Jesus, because notice that He says, what? He must do this. So Jesus defines the relationship as a follower of Him as someone who would deny himself, take up his cross on a daily basis, and follow after Him. I don't see anywhere in this text at all where it says anything about believing only. See? But this is Jesus' definition of a follower. In fact, if you go over to Luke chapter 14, here's what He says further. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. So not only does Jesus say that these are the three things that a follower needs to do, but He says if you don't do these, you can't be My disciple, period. That's how Jesus is defining the relationship with Him as a follower. Kyle Idleman says this. We need to think about this idea of taking up our cross daily, and what does that mean? Can you really say you're carrying your cross if it hasn't cost you anything? Okay? So think about that a moment, because why? So often when we think about carrying our cross, typically, we think of the idea of just carrying some burden in our life that we have to deal with, and we have to bear this burden with the idea that hopefully someday I'll be able to overcome this burden and I can lay down this cross and not have to carry it anymore. That's the way we tend to define carrying our cross. But that was not how Jesus defined it. In fact, Jesus' use of the cross, and we've talked about this at times before, Jesus used the cross because the people in His day understood what a cross was for. See? That a cross was used for one thing and one thing only. And that was to die on. Nobody picked up a cross and carried it from point A to point B and laid it down and then went on with their life. Everybody understood that if you were carrying a cross, you were carrying it to a point where you were going to be executed on it. You were going to die on that cross. And so this question that Kyle asked, I hope that it causes you to really think. I'm carrying a cross. What does it cost me in my life? Okay? Deny yourself, Jesus says. Deny yourself. What is carrying a cross for Jesus cost you in your life? Just kind of think about that a little bit. Okay, mentioned to you earlier. The DTR, the define the relationship, has already been done by God. Now, again, why is that so important for us to understand? Well, because too many people today want to define the relationship on their terms instead of God's. And that is, I think, it's one of the most dangerous aspects about religion and about Christianity that's out there. People are being deceived in thinking that they can define the relationship with God the way they want it to be instead of accepting the terms that God has already laid forth. Okay? People ask this question, what makes a good Christian? And if you were to go and ask that question to a whole lot of people, you would get a whole lot of different answers. Why? Because people have defined the relationship with God on their own terms. Here's an example. A lot of people feel that all the different churches out here are different branches all flowing to the same river, or different branches on the same tree, so to speak. But it's this idea that all these different religions out here and the way they're practicing and what they're doing are all acceptable to God and they're all going to the same place. The problem with that is there's so many out here that are doing things that are against what God has taught. Okay? So how can they be part of that same river, so to speak, going to the same place? What they've done so often, the reason we have so much denominationalism is because people have defined the relationship with God on their terms instead of accepting what God has defined and how He has defined it. Here's another example. This fellow, Matthew Vines, don't know anything about him, but here's a book that he wrote, God and the Gay Christian. Okay? Now, look up there in the top corner. I can't read it from back there. The biblical case in support of same-sex relationships. Okay? Again, defining the relationship on their terms instead of on God's terms. Okay? Because the reality is, in God's definition, in God's terms of the relationship, there is no such thing as a gay Christian. Okay? You cannot be gay and be a Christian because God has condemned that behavior.
Amen.
Okay? So you can write all the books you want to and you can try to define the relationship in terms of, oh, well, God loves everybody and He's going to forgive everybody and God loves the gay people too. Is that true, by the way? Does God love the gay people? Absolutely. Yeah. Let me hear a resounding yes, He does. Okay? But does that mean that those who refuse to accept His definition of the relationship are going to be saved? No, because God has already said this is an abomination.
Man.
He's defined the relationship that way and says, if you want to be my follower, these are things you cannot do. And yet there are people today who are saying, oh yes we can, because God loves us all. Let me give you an example. Now, I am not, I've seen advertisements and things of this Lady Gaga. I don't know a whole lot about her. What I've seen, I don't, you know, it's like, I don't want to watch anything that she does. But here's the headline that was in the news the other day. Lady Gaga calls Mike Pence the worst Christian during a concert, and the reason she did was over her wife's job at an anti-gay school. In other words, it was a Christian school. It's not defined as an anti-gay school. It's just a Christian school. But that's how she defined it. And here's the quote, part of the quote. I couldn't put it all up here because it was profanity-laced. Okay? But here's what she had to say. You say, she's talking about Mike Pence, you say we should not discriminate against Christianity. You are the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian. And look what she says next. I am a Christian woman. In this profanity-laced statement that she made. So my point here is simply that this is a great example of how people have tried to define the relationship with Christ as a Christian on their own terms. And not only that, but then saying, well, this person over here, because I don't agree with them on this, they're not a very good Christian. In fact, her words, he's the worst Christian. Okay? When people start trying to define the relationship with Christ on their own terms, they're always, always, always going to run into problems. Again, let me emphasize, there is no negotiation on these terms. Okay? Look at what Jesus says about people who will do that. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And look at this next part. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and here's how they have defined the relationship. Did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works or wonderful works in your name? So people have defined the relationship, Jesus is saying, on their own terms, and said a relationship with Jesus is about calling Him Lord, and it's about prophesying or saying many things in His name. It's about doing good works and all those kind of things. Then we're a Christian. He's my Lord. But look at what Jesus says, and He responds to them, I never knew you. Now again, keep in mind, we're talking about DTR, define the what? The relationship. Jesus saying, I don't have a relationship with you if this is what you're doing. See? So I don't know who you are. And that's why He gives us the warning that He does in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 7 in Matthew. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, I'd suggest to you that I think the reason the many are on the road to destruction is because they are trying to define the relationship with Him on their own terms. And that's the path of the many. But the few have accepted His definition of the relationship and are striving to live the relationship defined by Him, His way. And those are the few that will enter through the gate that leads to life. And finally, we need to understand the idea of the master key. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've ever used a master key for anything, but you understand that a master key to a building or whatever doesn't just open one or two doors in that building. A master key opens all the doors. Okay? That's why it's called a master key. You have total, all access to every room in that place. Okay? One master key, total access. So we've talked about this idea before. I just want to reinforce this, and just in our everyday life, all of our life, okay? that you look at your life and all the different areas of it, kind of like a house or a building, and there's all kinds of different rooms. And every room represents a different aspect of our life. Okay? Now the question is this. Have you been content to give Jesus the key to only certain rooms in your life? In other words, saying, well, you know, Jesus, welcome into my house, welcome into my life, but there are some rooms here you just need to understand that you can't go in. So there's some that we say, yes, Jesus, I want you to have access to my life, full access, but by the way, you can't go into this room. Or you can't go into that room. And if that's what we're doing, then we have not given Jesus the master key. You see, we have limited Him to the only the places in our life that we want Him to be able to go. So in other words, think about it this way. Are there places that you go in your life, for instance, maybe, you know, you want Jesus to be part of your life and work, okay, but only a part of it, and so you say, Jesus, you can come to work with me, but there's some things that I have to do at work that you can't be involved in. Okay? Or maybe, you know, there's activities that you do, maybe there's, you know, yeah, we're having a movie, and Jesus, you're welcome to come to the theater, but not tonight because this movie don't want you to see. Okay? Or maybe that there are conversations and relationships that we have. We say, Jesus, I want you to be involved in my relationships, but this one right here, I don't want you to see what's going on there. So we only give Jesus access to some parts of our lives and not total access or all access to everything in our lives. What we need to understand is that Jesus will not accept that at all. Here's a quote from Kyle Idleman in his lessons on Not a Fan. He says, we say, I don't mind you, that is Jesus, making some changes, but Jesus wants to turn your life upside down. And we say, I don't mind a bit of touch-up work, but Jesus wants complete renovation. And then he says, we're thinking tune-up, he's thinking overhaul. We think of a little bit of decorating, but Jesus wants a complete remodel. You see, what we need to understand is with Jesus, it's complete access or it's nothing. All right? Jesus will not settle for some of our life. Only the parts that we want to give Him. We say, I deny myself. I'll deny myself in these things, but not in these things. That's not how Jesus defined the relationship. You see? He said, if anyone would come after me, he must do what? Deny himself. Okay? How much of himself? All of it. Okay? All of it. Not just the parts we want to deny. Or we're willing to, but it's all of it. Okay? Deny yourself. We need to understand it this way. Okay? It's a package deal. You buy one, you get all the rest of it. Okay? When I was in the State Police Academy, we had the lieutenant that was over the academy. He used to say to us all the time, especially when we're doing calisthenics and things like that, he'd walk around, he'd say, it's a package deal, gentlemen. It's a package deal. You got to take a whole program. You can't just take the parts that you like of it. It's a package deal. And that's the way it is with Jesus. Okay? It is an all or nothing proposition. Okay? You are either all in or you are all out. We need to understand that. Jesus is the master. Okay? He's the master. As we were talking about in our Bible study this morning, with Him being the master, He gets to define the relationship. Okay? And here Jesus asked the question of many who were following him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? If he truly is our Lord, then we'll acknowledge him as our master and we will do what he says, allowing him to define the relationship as his followers. We've got to give him the master key. All access. Total access to our lives. In verse 24 of Luke chapter 9, here's what he says. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. That's all access. You see? If there's a part of your life you want to hang on to and you want to save, then you'll lose everything. Okay? You'll lose everything. Relationship with God truly is the most important relationship that you can ever have. And we need to embrace that every day. It is a daily thing. Take up your cross daily. Okay? So this morning we've looked at this idea of defining the relationship. How has Jesus defined the relationship with him as a follower? Okay. What I want to challenge you to think about is how well are you doing with his definition? In terms just of those three things, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him, how are you doing? Wes has chosen a song that we're going to use as an invitation song, and Dale and Ray will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to talk with them or have a prayer privately with either of them. And I'll be up front to receive anyone that would like to come up. If maybe you're looking at your following Jesus, being a follower, and realizing that, look, I've not been denying myself, I've not been taking up my cross, I've not been following him the way that he wants me to. Maybe you need some help, some guidance, some teaching, whatever it is to help you to be the kind of follower he wants you to be. That's what we want to help you with. And if you're not a Christian, you haven't given your life to him yet, then you need to understand that you're lost, separated from God by your sins. But the great news is, you can fix that right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then call upon him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God right now. And have that sin washed away in the waters of baptism. And we've got water ready, don't we, Chuck? Water's ready. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait. If we can serve you in any way, just come up and let me know, or go back and see Dale or Ray and do that while we're standing and sing. Right? All right.